Anyway, one of my names is Elijah David Mitchell, the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, Libertyville, Texas. Today is February 19, 2017, August 8, August 23, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Till the Storm Passes By. Dark of the fifth night, the heart hid my faith. All the storms all about me, and there's no hiding place. The crash of the thunder crushes Yah of my cry. Keep me safe. Till the storm passes by, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds that roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope of by and by. But I know Thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise, where the storm never darkened the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. And the long night has ended, and the storms come no more. Let me stand in the present, on the bright and peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Yahweh, dwelleth in when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Part 15, Captivity and Restoration, Prophets and Kings. We're on page 416. What a lesson is this to men holding positions of responsibility today in the congregation of the Yahweh. What a solemn warning to deal faithfully with the wrongs that bring dishonor unto the cause of truth. That men who claim to be the depositories of the Yahweh's law flatter themselves that the regard that they may outwardly show toward the commandments will preserve them from the exercise of divine justice. That none refuse to be reproved for evil, nor charge the servants of Yahweh with being too zealous in the endeavoring for the cleansing of the camp from evil doing. A sin-hating Yahweh calls upon those who claim to keep his law to depart from all iniquity. they neglect to repent and to render willing obedience will bring upon men and women today as serious consequences as come upon the ancient Israel. There is a limit beyond which the judgment of the Yahweh can no longer be delayed. The desolation of Jerusalem in the days of Jeremiah is a solemn warning unto the modern Israel that the counsels and admonitions given them through the chosen instrumentalities cannot be discarded with impunity. Jeremiah's message unto the priests and people around the antagonism of the many, with the boisterous denunciation they cried out, "Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Yahweh, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant?" And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of Yahweh, Jeremiah 26:9. Priests, false prophets, and people turned in the wrath upon him who would not speak unto them smooth things or prophesy deceit. Thus was the message of Yahweh despised and his servant threatened with the death. Tidings of the words of the Jeremiah were carried unto the princes of Judah, and they hastened from the palace of the king unto the temple for the learning for themselves that the truth of the matter. Then spake the priest and the prophets unto the princes and unto all the people, saying, "This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears." Verse 11. But Jeremiah stood boldly before the princes and the people to turn. "Yahweh sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, and the Yahweh will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth Yahweh hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears." Verse 12 to 15. Had the prophet been intimidated by the threatening attitude of those high in the authority, his message would have been without effect, and he would have lost his life. But the courage with which he delivered the solemn warning commanded the respect of the people and turned the princes of the Israel in his favor. They reasoned with the priests and false prophets, showing them how unwise would be the extreme measures they advocated, and their words produced a reaction in the minds of the people. Thus Yahweh raised up defenders for his servants. For the elders are also united in the protesting against the decision of the priests regarding the fate of Jeremiah. They cited the case of Micah, who had prophesied judgment upon Jerusalem, saying, "Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest." And they asked, "Did Hezekiah, king of the Judah, and all of Judah, put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Yahweh, and he sought the Yahweh, and the Yahweh repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls." Verses 18 and 19. Through the pleading of these men of the influence, the prophet's life was spared. Although many of the priests and the false prophets are unable to endure the condemning truth, he uttered, would gladly have been put to death on the plea of sedition. From the day of his call to the close of his ministry, Jeremiah stood before Judah as a tower and a fortress against which the wrath of man could not prevail. "They shall fight against you," the Yahweh had forewarned his servant, "but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee," said the Yahweh. "And I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible," Jeremiah 6:27. 15 and 20. 21. Naturally of a timid and shrinking disposition, Jeremiah longed for the peace and quiet of a life of retirement where he need not witness the continued impotence of his beloved nation. His heart was wrung with anguish over the ruin wrought by the sin. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, he mourned, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, Jeremiah 9:1-2. Cruel were the mockings he was called upon to endure. His sensitive soul was pierced through and through by the arrows of the derision hurled at him by those who despised his messages and made light of his burden for their conversion. I was a derision unto all my people, he declared, and their song all the day. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. All my families watch for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. Lamentations 3:14. Jeremiah 20:7-10. But the faithful prophet was daily strengthened to endure. The Yahweh is with me as a mighty, as a terrible one, he declared. In faith, therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Sing of the Yahweh, praise ye the Yahweh, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers, Jeremiah 20:11-13. Well, the first years of Jehoiakim's reign were filled with the warnings of the approaching doom, for the word of the Yahweh spoken by the prophet was about to be fulfilled, for the Assyrian power unto the northward, long supreme, was no longer to rule the nations. Egypt on the south, and whose power the king of the Judah was vainly placing his trust, was soon to receive a decided check. All unexpectedly, a new world power, the Babylonian Empire, was using to the eastward and swiftly overshadowing all other nations. Within a few short years, the king of the Babylon was to be used as the instruments of Yahweh's wrath upon the impenitent Judah. Again, Jerusalem was to be invested and entered by the besieging armies of the Nebuchadnezzar, company after company. At first a few only, but later on thousands and tens of thousands were to be taken captives into the land of Shinar, there to dwell in the enforced exile. Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, Zedekiah, all of these Jewish kings were in turn to become vassals of the Babylonian ruler, and all in turn would rebel. Severe and yet more severe chastisements were to be inflicted upon the rebellious nations, until at last the entire land was to become a desolation. Jerusalem was to be laid waste and burned with the fire. The temple that Solomon had built was to be destroyed, and the kingdom of Judah was to fall, never again to occupy its former position among the nations of the earth. Those times of the change so fraught with the peril unto the Israelitish nation was marked with many messages from the heaven through the Jeremiah. Thus the Yahweh gave the children of the Judah ample opportunity of the freeing themselves from the entangling alliances with Egypt and of the avoiding controversy with the rulers of the Babylon. As the threat and danger came closer, he taught the people by the means of a series of active parables, hoping thus to rouse them unto a sense of their obligation unto Yahweh, and also to encourage them to maintain friendly relations with the Babylonian government. For the illustration of the importance of the yielding implicit obedience unto the requirements of the Yahweh, Jeremiah gathered some Rechabites into the one of the chambers of the temple and set wine before them, inviting them to drink. As was to have been expected, he met with remonstrance and absolute refusal. We will drink no wine, the Rechabites firmly declared, but Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, neither ye, nor your sons forever. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith Yahweh Yahshua of the host, the king of Israel. Well, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to hearken unto my words, saith Yahweh. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, for unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Jeremiah 35:6-12-14. Yahweh sought thus to bring into sharp contrast the obedience of the Rechabites with the disobedience and rebellion of his people. For the Rechabites had obeyed the command of their father and now refused to be enticed into the transgression. But the men of the city had hearkened not unto the words of Yahweh and were in the consequence about to suffer his severest judgment. I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking. Yahweh had pleaded with Judah not to provoke him to anger, but they had hearkened not. Finally, sentence was pronounced against them. They were to be led away captive unto battle, for the Chaldeans were to be used as the instrument by which Elohim would chastise his disobedient people. For the sufferings of the men of the Judah were to be in proportion unto the light they had and unto the warnings they despised and rejected. Long had Elohim delayed his judgment, but now he would visit his displeasure upon them as a last effort to check them and their evil course. Upon the house of the Rechabites was pronounced a continued blessing. The prophet declared, because ye have obeyed the commandment of the Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts and done according unto all that he hath commanded you. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of the host, the king of Israel, or the Yahweh of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Verse 18-19. Thus Yahweh taught his people that faithfulness and obedience would be reflected back upon Judah in a blessing, even as the Rechabites were blessed for obedience unto their father's command. The lesson is for us. It's the requirements of a good and wise father who took the best and most effective means to secure his posterity against the evils of intemperance, but worthy of strict obedience, surely Yahweh's authority should be held in as much greater reverence as he is holier than man, our creator and our commander, infinite in power, terrible in judgment, seeks by every means to bring men to see and repent of their sins by the mouth of his servant. He predicts the dangers of disobedience. He sounds the note of the warning and faithfully reproves sin. His people are kept in the prosperity only by his mercy through the vigilant watch care of the chosen instrumentality. He cannot uphold and guard a people who reject his counsel and despise his reproof. For a time he may withhold his retributive judgments, yet he cannot always stay his hand. The children of Judah were numbered among those of whom Yahweh had declared, you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19:6. Never did Jeremiah and his ministry lose sight of the vital importance of the heart holiness in the very relationships of the life, especially in the service of the Most High Yahweh. Plainly he foresaw the downfall of the kingdom and the scattering of the inhabitants of the Judah among the nation. But with the eye of the faith, he let beyond all this until the times of the restoration. Ringing in his ears was the divine promise, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again unto their foes. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper. And shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Yahshua, our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:3-6. Thus, prophecies of their oncoming judgment were mingled with the promises of the final and glorious deliverance. Those who should choose to make their peace with Yahweh and live holy lives amid the prevailing apostasy would receive strength for every trial and be enabled to witness for Him with the mighty power. And in the ages to come, the deliverance wrought in their behalf would exceed in the fame that wrought for the children of Israel at the time of the Exodus. For the days were coming, the Yahweh declared through His prophet, when they should no more say, the Yahweh liveth which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Yahweh liveth which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. And verses 7 and 8. Such were the wonderful prophecies uttered by Jeremiah during the closing years of the history of the kingdom of Judah, when the Babylonians were coming unto the universal rule and were even then bringing their besieging armies against the walls of Zion. Like the sweetest music, these promises of the deliverance fell upon the ears of those who were steadfast in their worship of the Yahweh in the homes of the high and the lowly, where the councils of the covenant-keeping people were, Yahweh were still held in the reverence. Let's read that whole paragraph again. Like the sweetest music, these promises of the deliverance fell upon the ears of those who were steadfast in their worship of the Yahweh. In the homes of the high and lowly, where the councils of a covenant-keeping Yahweh were still held in the reverence, the words of the prophet were repeated again and again. Even the children were mightily stirred, and upon their young receptive minds, lasting impressions were made. It was their conscientious observance of the commands of the Holy Scripture that in the days of Jeremiah's ministry brought unto Daniel and his fellow opportunities to exalt the true Elohim before the nations of earth. The instruction these Hebrew children had received in the homes of their parents made them strong in the faith and constant in their service of the living Elohim, for the creator of the heavens and the earth. And early in the reign of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar for the first time besieged and captured Jerusalem, and carried away Daniel and his companions with others, specially chosen for the service in the court of Babylon. The faith of the Hebrew captives was tried to the utmost, but those who had learned to place their trust in the promises of Yahweh found these all sufficient in every experience through which they were called to pass during their sojourn in a strange land. For the scriptures proved unto them a guide and a stay. As an interpreter of the meaning of the judgments beginning to fall upon Judah, Jeremiah stood nobly in the defense of the justice of Elohim and of his merciful design, even in the severe chastisement. Entirely the prophet labored, desirous of the reaching all classes, for he extended the sphere of his influence beyond Jerusalem and to the surrounding district by the frequent visits unto various parts of the kingdom. In his testimonies for the church, Jeremiah constantly referred to the teachings of the book of the law that had been so greatly honored and exalted during the Josiah's reign. He emphasized anew the importance of the maintaining a covenant relationship with the all-merciful and compassionate being who, upon the heart of Sinai, has spoken the precepts of the Decalogue. Jeremiah's words of the warning and the entreaty reached every part of the kingdom, and all had opportunity to know the will of the Elohim concerning the nation. The prophet made plain the fact that our Heavenly Father allows His judgment to fall, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, Psalms 9:20, If you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, the Yahweh hath forewarned his people, I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Leviticus 26:21-28:33. At the very time messages of the impending doom were urged upon the princes and people, their ruler Jehoiakim, who should have been a wise spiritual leader, foremost in the confession of sin and in the reformation of the good works, was spending his time in the selfish pleasure. I will build me a wide house and large chambers, he proposed, and this house sealed with the cedar and painted with the vermilion. Jeremiah 22:14 was built with the money and labor secured through the fraud and oppression. For the wrath of the prophet was aroused, and he was inspired to pronounce judgment upon the faithless ruler. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, he declared, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work. Shalt thou reign because thou clothest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice, and then it was well with him? He judged the cause of the poor and needy, then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith Yahweh, but thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, Oh, my brother, or our sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Oh, Yahweh, or all his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Verses 13-19. Within a few years, this terrible judgment was to be visited upon Jehoiakim. But first, the Yahweh and the mercy informed the impenitent nation of his set purpose. In the fourth year of the Jehoiakim's reign, Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and unto all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, pointing out that for over a score of years, from the 13th year of Josiah, even unto this day, he had borne the witness of Elohim's desire to save, but that his messages had been despised, Jeremiah 25:2-3. And now the word of Yahweh unto him was, Thus saith Yahweh, Yahshua of the host, Because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment and an hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Verses 8-11. Although the sentence of the doom had been clearly pronounced, its awful import could scarcely be understood by the multitudes who heard, that deeper impressions might be made. The Yahshua sought to illustrate the meaning of the words spoken. He bade Jeremiah liken the fate of the nation to be to the draining of a cup filled with the wine of the divine wrath. Among the first to drink of this cup of the woe was to be Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and the kings thereof. Others were to partake of the same cup, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people, and many other nations of the earth, until Yahweh's purpose should have been fulfilled. See Jeremiah 25. To illustrate further the nature of the swift coming judgment, the prophet was bidden to take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom. And thereafter, reviewing the apostasy of Judah, he was to dash to pieces a potter's earthen bottle, and declare in behalf of Yahweh, whose servant he was, "Even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again." The prophet did as he was commanded. Then returning unto the city, he stood in the court of the temple and declared in the hearing of all the people, "Thus saith Yahweh of the host, the Elohim of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words." See Jeremiah 19. The prophet's words, instead of leading to confession and repentance, aroused the anger of those high in the authority. And as a consequence, Jeremiah was deprived of his liberty, imprisoned and placed in the stocks. The prophet nevertheless continued to speak the messages of the heaven unto those who stood by. His voice could not be silenced by the persecution. The word of the truth, he declared, was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. It is about this time that the Yahweh commanded Jeremiah to commit to writing the messages he desired to bear for those, for whose salvation his heart of the pity was continually yearning. "Take thee a roll of a book, the Yahweh bade his servant, "and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, and against all the nations, on the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of the Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." Jeremiah 36:2-3. In obedience unto this command, Jeremiah called unto his aid a faithful friend, Baruch the scribe, and dictated all the words of the Yahweh which he had spoken unto him. Verse 4. They were carefully written out on a roll of the parchment and constituted a solemn reproof for the sin, a warning of the sure result of the continual apostasy, and an earnest appeal for the renunciation of the evil. And the writing was completed. Jeremiah, who was still a prisoner, sent Baruch to read the roll unto the multitudes who were assembling at the temple on the occasion of a national fast day in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month. It may be, the prophet said, they will present their supplication before the Yahweh and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Yahweh hath pronounced against his people. Verses 7-9. Baruch obeyed, and the roll was read before all the people of Judah. Afterwards, the scribe was summoned before the princes to read the words unto them. They listened with a great interest and promised to inform the king concerning all they had heard, but counseled the scribe to hide himself, for they feared the king would reject the testimony and seek to slay those who had prepared and delivered the message. And as King Jehoiakim was told by the princes what Baruch had read, he immediately ordered the roll brought before him and read in his hearing. One of the royal attendants, Jehuda, by the name, fetched the roll and began reading. the words of the reproof and warning. It was the time of the winter. And the king and his companions of the state, the princes of Judah, were gathered about an open fire. Only a small portion had been read when the king, far from trembling at the danger hanging over himself and his people, seized the roll and in a frenzy of rage, cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed. Verse 23. Neither the king nor his princes were afraid, nor rent their garments. Certain of the princes, however, had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. The writing having been destroyed, the wrath of the wicked king rose against Jeremiah and Baruch, and he forthwith sent for them to be taken, but the Yahweh hid them. Verses 24-26. In bringing to the attention of the temple worshippers and of the princes and kings the written admonitions contained in the inspired roll, Elohim is graciously seeking to warn the men of Judah for their good. It may be, he said, the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Verse 3. Yahweh pities men struggling in the blindness of the perverse. He seeks to enlighten the darkened understanding by the sinning reproof and threatening design to cause the most exalted to feel their ignorance and to deplore their errors. He endeavors to help the self-complacent to become dissatisfied with their vain attainments and to seek their spiritual blessing through a close connection with the heaven. Yahweh's plan is not to send messengers. He will please and flatter sinners. He delivers no messages of the peace for the lulling of the unsanctified into the eternal security. Instead, he lays heavy burdens upon the conscience of the wrongdoer and pierces his soul with the sharp arrows of the conviction. Ministering angels present to him the fearful judgments of the Yahweh to deepen the sense of the need and to prompt the agonizing cry, "What must I do to be saved?" Acts 16:30. But the hand that humbles to the dust rebukes sin and puts pride and ambition to shame. It is the hand that lifts up the repentant, stricken one with the deepest sympathy. He who permits the chastisement to fall inquires, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" When man has sinned against a holy and merciful Yahweh, he can pursue no course that's so noble as to repent sincerely and fully confess his errors in the tears and bitterness of the soul. This Elohim requires of him. He accepts nothing less than a broken heart and a contrite spirit. But King Jehoiakim and his lords, in their arrogance and pride, refused the invitation of the Yahweh. They would not heed the warning and repent, for the gracious opportunity proffered them at the time of the burning of the sacred roll was their last, for the Elohim had declared that if at that time they refused to hear his voice, he would inflict upon them fearful retribution. For they refused to hear, and he pronounced his final judgments upon the Judah, and he would visit with special wrath a man who had proudly lifted himself up against the Almighty. Thus the Yahweh of the Jehoiakim, king of the Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of the David. And his dead body shall be cast out in the day and to the heat, and in the night and to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, Now I'll bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of the Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I had pronounced against them. Jeremiah 36, 30 and 31. For the burning of the roll was not the end of the matter. The written words were more easy disposed of than the reproof and warning they contained, and the swift coming punishment Elohim had pronounced against the rebellious Israel. But even the written roll was reproduced. Take thee again another roll, the Yahweh commanded his servant, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which the Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned, or hath burned, for the record of the prophecies concerning Judah and Jerusalem had been and reduced to ashes. But the words were still living in the heart of Jeremiah as a burning fire, and the prophet was permitted to reproduce that which the wrath of man would fain have destroyed. Taking another roll, Jeremiah gave it unto Baruch, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which the Jehoiakim king of the Judah had burned in the fire. And they were added besides them many like words, verses 28 to 32. For the wrath of man is sought to prevent the labors of the prophet of Elohim, but the very means by which Jehoiakim had endeavored to limit the influence of the servant of Yahweh gave further opportunity for making plain the divine requirements. For the spirit of the opposition unto the reproof that led unto the persecution and imprisonment of the Jeremiah exists today. Many refuse to heed repeated warnings, preferring rather to listen to false teachers who flatter their vanity and overlook their evil doing. In the day of the trouble, such will have no sure refuge, no help from the heaven. Elohim's chosen servants should meet with the courage and patience the trials and sufferings that befall them. Through the reproach, neglect, and misrepresentation, they should continue to discharge faithfully the work Elohim has given them to do, ever remembering that the prophets of the old and the Savior of mankind and his apostles also endured abuse and persecution for the word's sake. It is Elohim's purpose that Jehoiakim should heed the counsels of the Jeremiah and thus win favor in the eyes of the Nebuchadnezzar and save himself such sorrow. For the youthful king had sworn allegiance unto the Babylonian ruler, and had he remained true unto his promise, he would have commanded the respect of the heathen, and this would have led to unto the precious opportunities for the conversion of the souls. Scorning the annual privileges granted him, Judah's king willfully followed a way of his own choosing. He violated his word of the honor unto the Babylonian ruler and rebelled. This brought him and his kingdom into a very strait place. Against him were sent bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon. And he was powerless to prevent the land from being overrun by these marauders. 2 Kings 24:2. Then a few years he closed his disastrous reign in the ignominy, rejected of heaven, unloved by his people, and despised by the rulers of Babylon, whose confidence he had betrayed, and all as a result of his fatal mistake in turning from the purpose of Yahweh as revealed through his appointed messenger. Jehoiachin, also known as Jeconiah and Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, occupied his throne only 3 months and 10 days when he surrendered unto the Chaldean armies, which because of the rebellion of Judah ruler were once more besieging the fated city. On this occasion, Nebuchadnezzar carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon and the king's mother and the king's wives and his officers and the mighty of the land, several thousand in number, together with craftsmen and smiths a thousand. With these, the king of Babylon took all the treasures of the house of the Yahweh and the treasures of the king's house, 2 Kings 24:15-16 and 13. For the kingdom of the Judah, broken in power and robbed of the strength, both in men and in treasure, was nevertheless still permitted to exist as a separate government. At its head, Nebuchadnezzar placed Mattaniah, a young son of Josiah, changing his name unto Zedekiah. Okay, that ends chapter, I believe, 35. Let's go into chapter 36. The last king of Judah, Zedekiah, at the beginning of his reign, was trusted fully by the king of Babylon and had as a tried counselor the prophet Jeremiah by pursuing an honorable course toward the Babylonians by the paying heed unto the messages from the Yahweh to the Jeremiah, he could have kept the respect of many in the high authority and have had opportunity to communicate unto them the knowledge of the true Yahweh. Thus, the captive exiles already in the Babylon would have been placed on the vantage ground and granted many liberties, for the name of the Yahweh would have been honored far and wide, and those that remained in the land of Judah would have been spared the terrible calamities that finally came upon them. So Jeremiah, Zedekiah, and all Judah, including those taken unto Babylon, were counseled to submit them quietly unto the temporary rule of their conquerors. It was especially important that those in the captivity should seek the peace of the land into which they had been carried. This, however, was contrary unto the inclinations of the human heart. And Satan, taking advantage of the circumstances, caused false prophets to arise among the people, both in the Jerusalem and in Babylon, who declared that the yoke of the bondage would soon be broken and the former prestige of the nation restored. For the heeding of such flattering prophecies would have led to fatal moves on the part of the king and the exiles, and would have frustrated the merciful designs of Yahweh on their behalf, lest an insurrection be incited and great sufferings ensue. Yahweh commanded Jeremiah to meet the crisis without delay. By warning the king of Judah of the sure consequences of the rebellion, the captives also were admonished by the written communications not to be deluded into believing their deliverance near. That not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. He urged Jeremiah 29:8. And this connection mentioned was made of the Yahweh's purpose to restore Israel at the close of the 70 years. Restore Israel at the close of the 70 years of the captivity foretold by his messengers. With what tender compassion did Yahweh inform his captive people of his plans for Israel? They knew that should they be persuaded by the false prophets to look for a speedy deliverance, their position in Babylon would be made very difficult. Any demonstration or insurrection on their part would awaken the vigilance and severity of the Chaldean authorities and would lead unto a further restriction of their liberties. Suffering and disaster would result. He desired them to submit quietly unto their fate and make their servitude as pleasant as possible, and his counsel unto them was, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto Yahweh for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. 5-7. among the false teachers in Babylon were two men who claimed to be holy, but whose lives were corrupt. Jeremiah had condemned the evil course of these men and had warned them of their danger. Angered by the reproof, they sought to oppose the work of the true prophet by the stirring up the people to discredit his words and to act contrary unto the counsel of Yahweh and the matter of the subjection themselves unto the king of Babylon. Yahweh testified to the Jeremiah that these false prophets should be delivered into the hands of the Nebuchadnezzar and slain before his eyes. Not long afterwards, this tradition was literally fulfilled. Until the end of time, men will arise to create confusion and rebellion among those who claim to be representatives of the true Yahweh. Those who prophesy lies will encourage men to look upon sin in a light thing. When the terrible results of their evil deeds are made manifest, they will seek, if possible, to make the one who has faithfully warned them responsible for their difficulties, even as the Jews charged Jeremiah with their evil fortune. But as surely as the words of the Jehovah through his prophet were vindicated anciently, so surely will the certainty of his messages be established today. From the first, Jeremiah had followed a consistent course in the counsel and submission unto the Babylonians. This counsel was given not only unto Judah, but unto many of the surrounding nations. In the earlier portion of the Zedekiah's reign, ambassadors from the rulers of Edom, Moab, Tyre, and other nations visited the king of Judah for the learning whether in his judgment the time was opportune for a united revolt and whether he would join them in the battle against the king of the Babylon. While these ambassadors were awaiting a response, the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah, saying, "Make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of the Edom, and unto the king of the Moab, and unto the king of the Ammonites, and unto the king of the Tyrus, and unto the king of the Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come unto Jerusalem, unto to Zedekiah, king of Judah." Jeremiah 27:2-3. Jeremiah was commanded to instruct the ambassadors to inform their rulers that the Elohim had given them all into the hand of the Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylon, and that they were to serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of this of his land come. Verses 12. For the ambassadors were further instructed for the declaring unto their ruler that if they refused to serve the Babylonian king, they should be punished with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence till they were consumed, especially were they to turn from the teachings of the false prophets who might counsel otherwise. "Hearken not unto your prophets," the Yahweh said, "nor unto your diviners, nor unto your dreamers, nor unto your enchanters, nor unto your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, 'You shall not serve the king of the Babylon,' for they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and you should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of the Babylon and to serve him, those will I let remain till still in their land, saith Yahweh, and they shall till it and dwell therein." Verse 8-11. For the lightest punishment that a merciful Elohim could inflict upon so rebellious a people was submission unto the rule of Babylon. If they warred against this decree of the servitude, they were to feel the full rigor of his chastisement.
Eternal home. Lies heaven shining down, lies my path lay on the ground. Gonna let that light shine into my soul. I'll sing praise to his name, and I'll never be the same. For I'm making heaven my eternal home. Eternal home, what do you sing? Eternal home, all heaven ring. Eternal home, with joy divine. While traveling along the That's where he's coming again. And I want to do my friend. And when the Savior does appear, we shall be here.